You're listening to Caffeine and Chaos, a podcast for moms by a mom who's just taking it one day and one cup of coffee at a time. So sit back, relax, and come join me. Good morning. Oh, man. Wednesday. We have arrived. Do you ever get to the middle of the week and you're just like, hey, I feel like you survived or something. I don't know. That's what I'm feeling. Okay, so what I'm going to talk about today is completely not what was on my schedule to talk about at all. But it was kind of inspired, I guess, by some conversations I've been having with people lately. And I think that this is something really important that needs to be talked about. I'm going to put this disclaimer before I continue. This is not a kid-friendly episode unless your kids are like well beyond maturity. So this is an episode I would recommend listening to when your kids aren't in the room or, you know, by yourself, pop some headphones in, that kind of thing. I'm not going to say anything that is grotesque, but it just may not be age appropriate for everybody in the room. But for us as women, also as moms, if you're a mom, this is the kind of stuff that needs to be talked about and discussed. I'll be honest, my toddlers are sitting on the couch watching a movie, but they're totally oblivious to what I'm saying. So it's fine. And I'm comfortable having conversations like this in front of my kids. So I'm just going to put that disclaimer before I continue so that if you're in a position where you're listening to this and your kids are around and you kind of want to just filter, now would be a good time to decide when you want to listen to this. What was I saying? I have a friend who was recently diagnosed with ADHD, and now every time I talk to her, I'm like, I think I have ADHD because I lose track of things all the time. Anyway, this topic was spurred on by a lot of different things, mostly because I've been having some just really good conversations about this topic with people lately. And I'm just realizing that as a mom, as a wife, these are important things that we need to be talking about. Because I'm going to put this too as a little bit of a disclaimer. I am not bashing my parents in any way and in how they raise us. If you're friends with me on Facebook, you probably saw a post that I shared today that just talks about, you know, forgiveness is real. And sometimes we need to grant our parents some grace for the ways that we were raised and the ways that they handled things. Because really and truly, they were doing the very best that they could with what they had, what they were taught, what cultural norms were, even what was being taught in the church. Okay, I think that there's a lot of things that are taught in the church today that are very old-fashioned ideas and actually aren't biblical. But I think because they've been a quote-unquote Christian cultural norm for so long, they're just still accepted, and we use scripture to back it up because that's what we were taught growing up. And I think that a lot of people are kind of waking up to that and coming to the realization that things like, i.e. beating your kids, spanking may not always be the best option or the most biblical option for discipline. So just stuff like that. But I have had to learn a lot as a parent that truly, we're really just doing the best with what we're given. And a lot of us were given a precedent that was set by Christianity that was just a little bit different. And as an adult, I'm constantly striving to serve my children better, to do better for my kids than my parents did, not because I think my parents did a terrible job, but because, you know, I heard a pastor say once, you know, be careful what you do because your kids will take what you do and they'll take it 10 miles farther. And I think that that really gives a lot of discredit to us now who are adults, who were kids, when we had pastors who said that, because truthfully, I would like to think that I do the opposite. I take the things that my parents did and I would like to think that I improve upon them or I make them better or I learn differently. And I am constantly striving to take what my parents ingrained in me and do 10 times better with my own children. Not because I want to one-up them in any way, not because I think I'm better, but because I think my parents did a great job with what they had. And now we live in a world where I have access to so much more. so many more resources, so much more technology that I can take what they taught me and what I have access to now and combine it into this really awesome just life that's called parenting. Not because I want to one-up my parents, but because I have access to more than they did, and I would be doing a disservice to my own children if I didn't take it a step further. So let's hop into this so that all this makes sense, all this rambling makes sense. There has been a heavy topic of discussion lately among my circles of friends, and my sister and I have been having a lot of these discussions lately about how our parents addressed the topic of sex with us. Okay, now you understand why I'm saying decide if you want to listen to this around your kids or not. Let me give you a little bit of my background. And if you've listened to my podcast for long enough or you know me personally, you know my story. I was adopted at birth. My biological mom was 18. My biological dad was not in the picture. She was introduced to a adoption counselor who came to her school and through that made the choice to put me up for adoption. She did not give me away. She did not leave. She did not abandon me. She wanted a two-parent family for me that could give me something that she couldn't, and that was a mom and a dad. So I was adopted, and I grew up my entire life being told that I was adopted, but I was also told a lot of other things, whether it was to my face or just kind of secondhand, under the table, slick type stuff. So I grew up thinking very much that I had to be very careful. I had to be very careful about what I did, how I deported myself, all of this, because I didn't want to be a statistic. Okay, let me explain that. In the United States, mothers who have children outside of wedlock, their children are 70% more likely to do the same thing. So growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, and this is no fault to my parents, okay? I think this was very much a cultural thing, because I now have conversations with my friends who grew up in similar situations, and they say, oh yeah, that's absolutely what it was like in my house too. So it wasn't just me, okay? I grew up in the late 90s, early 2000s culture of I Kiss Dating Goodbye, which, by the way, if you've ever read that book, you should burn it. Okay, I'm gonna be very blunt here. You should burn that book. There's a lot of different reasons for that. If you want to know my biggest reason? Go look up the author. Google him. See where he's at today. Because he recanted that book. He recanted everything he said in that book and publicly apologized for writing that book. So, yeah. So you want to know how I feel about courtship and all this stuff? I don't, and I think it's gross. So that's my 10 cents. If you're choosing to do that with your kids, that's completely your choice. I won't be doing it with mine. And that's fine. We can still sit down and have coffee together. And I'll be your friend. And that's okay. So I grew up in a home where sex was not talked about. Okay. So the picture that I got of what sex was and how it worked was that sex was dirty. It was gross. I really didn't even see it in the light of that sex was made for married couples. I didn't even see it in that light. I saw it as sex is ew, sex is gross, we don't talk about it. As I got older in junior high and high school, I was in a situation with kids who lived in homes that were different than mine and kids who knew different things than me. And so sexual jokes were made. They were funny. We never treated sex with the sacredness and the respect that it deserves. Okay, let me explain that. Sex is biblical. Sex is amazing. Sex is beautiful. It was created by God to be enjoyed by couples who are married. The Bible is very clear about that, okay? I am not condemning anybody. I have people in my own family who have had sex outside of marriage, okay? If you know me and my husband, you know our story. You know our backgrounds. And I think my husband would have no problem with me saying this because people know him personally. I was not my husband's first. My husband was my first. And so we come with very different perspectives into marriage. I had nothing to compare anything to, but I also didn't know anything. I was very unprepared. Meanwhile, my husband is what people would call experienced. Okay. As a young woman who was married, I was not prepared for that aspect of my marriage. I was not ready to have sex. There was so much I did not know. And even still, my husband and I have been married for 6.5 years, and there are still times where I, as a wife, feel inadequate. I feel inadequate. Like I cannot serve my husband in the way that he would want or desire because I just don't know still. And there are times where I feel heavily embarrassed about that. I'm just being very candid here. I feel embarrassed about that. Should I? Absolutely not. But there are times where I sit back and think now, as a mother, how am I going to serve my children so that they don't have the same experience when it's their turn to get married? Okay. I remember my mom gave us these books to read. And if I'm being honest, if you know my mom, she's a communicator, but I think she's very good in some aspects and not in others. And it kind of makes me wonder, maybe she didn't grow up with parents who had these discussions with her either. And so I think it was very much just, it was very taboo to talk about. So they didn't. And so when my parents had kids, the taboo continued. And now we're living in a generation where my sister said it best, sex is different than it was when we were kids. Okay. I distinctly remember being 11 and 12, and teenage pregnancy was a really hot topic. I mean, it was such a hot topic, and I don't know if they still do this now, but in health classes in high school, they would do the baby project where kids would take home a robotic baby for a weekend to see what it was like to be a teen parent. And then they would make them do like these teen pregnancy PSA videos. They're all over YouTube. You can look them up. They're super corny. It's really fun. But they would talk about teenage pregnancy. But they would never talk about abstinence. They would talk about safe sex. Okay? That's how it was presented in the public schools. I had a cousin who got pregnant at a young age. And now she has a beautiful family. She has an incredible family, and she should be very, very proud of herself. She really should. But I remember just kind of sitting, wondering. I had so many questions. So many questions. And I didn't feel like I had anybody who I could approach and ask them. And I don't want that to be the environment that I create in my home, especially because of my background and my story. I don't want my children, specifically my daughter, to get to her wedding night and feel unprepared. I will never forget the day after my wedding. It was a Sunday, right? Who goes to church the day after their wedding? One, two, three, not me. Especially because it was the church that I grew up in, you know? But we went to my parents' house. We were flying out that day. We had gone to my parents' house the next morning to say goodbye. My sister was still there, and I still remember her pulling me into the room. And she was curious. It was my sister. If I'm honest, the majority of what I learned about sex was from my sister and my husband. So thanks. And she asked me, how was it? Did this happen? Did that happen? And I remember freezing up. Because I, A, didn't know how to answer. B, I didn't want to give the wrong answer because I didn't want anybody to think that anything was out of order, or I was so terrified. I was terrified. I couldn't have a conversation with my own sister and say, that was the weirdest thing I've ever experienced in my life. What? Because I was so afraid, because I hadn't been taught how to talk about it. How do we talk about the things that make us uncomfortable? We don't. That's what I've been taught. And again, this is absolutely zero, zero bashing of my parents. Truly, truly, when it comes down to it, my parents did really an incredible job, an amazing job with all of us kids. But now, as a mom, I want to take what I know and what I know of how I felt on my own wedding day. And I want to do better. I want to serve my kids by telling them, sex is beautiful, but sex is not perfect. Because sex is two imperfect people becoming one. So don't expect your wedding night to be the most mind-blowing, magical experience you've ever had. It's going to be awkward. It's okay to laugh. It's okay to laugh. Laugh at each other. Laugh with each other. Enjoy it. It's going to be weird. It's supposed to be weird. But you know what? Then you get used to it. And then it's fun. And then you have kids. And then you get to start making jokes. And then you get to go to marriage retreats. And let's talk about Christian marriage retreats, y'all. My favorite part is when the pastor drops the dirty joke in the middle of the sermon. In a room full of married people. I love it. Why? Because we're all married and sex isn't dirty. Sex isn't dirty. Sex is amazing. Now, unfortunately, we live in a world where people have taken sex and used it outside of the context for which God created it. But I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't make it any less beautiful. I really hate to break that to some people. I think people want to put sex in the light of, oh, it's so dirty and it's filthy. And you know what? It's not, though. And that's why it's enticing. But you know what Satan has done? Satan has put his little claws into something that is so beautiful and so sacred. And he wants people to think that it's dirty and that it's scandalous. Oh, it's like a flame. Okay, I've heard this analogy and I actually like this one because they're right. You see the candle, you see the burning flame, and you think, I shouldn't touch that. It's hot. But what do? You touch it, right? You reach out and touch it because you think, nah, it's fine. It's fine. And what does it do? It burns. Your nerve endings, right? Why do people do drugs? It's attractive. It fulfills something. It numbs them. It takes away the pain. It takes the edge off. That's why alcohol is attractive. It takes the edge off. Okay, so here's what I'm getting at. We as parents in this day and age need to do ourselves a big service. What? Okay. We need to do ourselves a big service. We need to do our children a service. And we need to be talking about these things in the correct light. Okay? So, I'm going to give you the top four things that I'm going to teach my children about this. Now, this is not necessarily a list you need to write down. This is simply coming from my personal perspective of what I know, what I've learned, what I've been taught, and now as a married woman, things I wish I had known on my wedding night. You know what? Let's do that. Here's what we're going to do. Top four things I wish I had known on my wedding night. That's what we're going to call this. These are the things that I'm going to talk openly with my children about when they are at the appropriate maturity level. Okay, now I'm going to say something, and I think this is going to make some people mad. Okay, you ready for this? 18, 19, and 20 is not the appropriate maturity level to have this discussion with your children. Here's why. 18, you're sending your kids off to college. Or they're going out in the world to get a job. If you have not already taught them, they already know. Listen to that again, okay? I'm not trying to get preachy here, but I'm gonna pull a little pastor move. If you have not already taught them, they already know. Okay? There are some things I'm pretty sure my parents have no idea I know at the age of 16. You want to know why I knew them? Because I had friends who talked about them because they knew. I didn't even have to ask a question. Okay. I'm making my teeth. I didn't even have to ask a question.
Mommy.
What? Mommy. Never once Actually, no, there was one time where I asked a friend something because I knew she knew. You don't even have, your kids don't have to have friends who they can ask questions to. Your kids don't have to Google search. And I'm really gonna, oh man, I'm just gonna break the ice on this one. It does not matter where your kids go to school or who their friends are. They know. They know. The appropriate age and maturity level to have this discussion with your children is not 18. Okay. Now I'm gonna pass this out, okay? For some people, the appropriate maturity age level is also not 11. Okay? There are some kids who could handle this at 11. There are some who could not. You as the parent know your child best, but please do not wait until they are 18, because I'm going to tell you what, they're already going to know some stuff. And if your kids are anything like me, where they grew up in a Christian home, I'm going to tell you right now, they're not going to go to Google. Okay? We throw such an emphasis on, oh, social media and the internet and the big bad internet. I'm gonna be honest, in this day and age, that's not what we have to worry about. In this day and age, you don't need to worry about the internet. Is it easy to have access to stuff? Yeah, my husband was just sharing with me that was something they discussed in the men's portion of our split sessions at Marriage Retreat. We have such easy access to things. We live in a world where men prey on weak-minded individuals and on women on social media, on Instagram. Okay, it has happened to me. It has happened to me as a married woman. No. Sorry. As a married woman, it has happened to me. I have had men prey on me through my Instagram account, which is locked down, by the way. Okay? So you can't see my stuff unless you somehow follow me. They prey on innocent women and they say things like, I don't want this, I don't want that from you, I'll send you money. With the economy the way that it is, I'll tell you what, you're in a deep enough situation that's enticing to some people. And they prey on these women and they pay them. They pay them dollar bills, y'all. I'm not even kidding you. I wish I was. That is how easy sex is in our society. It's no longer this secret hush-hush thing. It is public, it is open, it is out there. They're talking about it, they're blasting it everywhere. It's in the music, it's in the clothing, it's on the TV. Yes, but you want to know what else? Your kids are talking about it at school. And this is why you need to be engaged. And I'm sorry, I know I'm getting so preachy. This is something I've started to feel very strongly about as a parent, that I need to be guarding my children's hearts, but that doesn't mean hiding them from things. That means being very open with them. Because you know what? I would hope that when my daughter is 16 years old and she's going to school or she's hanging out with friends and they start giggling and they want to talk about sex, that my daughter can look at them and say, let me tell you something and why you need to go talk to your parents about this. Because this is something beautiful that God created, and when it is in the correct context that God intended it, there is nothing that compares. Nothing. I look at our family and I think when my husband and I got married, we literally two became one. Okay, I'm gonna get a little into it here. Again, I gave a disclaimer so you knew this was coming. When the Bible says two shall become one, I want you to think about what happens during sex. The two literally become one, okay? And then you have children. Two people into one person. That's the visual picture that Jesus wanted you to have when you read that passage of scripture. This is God's intention. God created sex for the context of marriage to multiply. That's biblical. And when I look at my children, I see a walking testimony of my marriage. Interesting. So, you know, the next time you're at the grocery store and you see that mom with seven kids, instead of turning to her and saying, wow, you've got your hands full, maybe you should turn to her and you should say, Wow. That's a testimony right there. It's a testimony to your marriage. That does not mean every marriage is perfect. Okay, and there are mixed families and there are different scenarios, but you know what? Even then, children are a walking testimony. They are. They are a walking testimony of who we are as people. They are visual reminders of God's promise to make things beautiful. Interesting. Where was I going with this? Okay, number one thing I want to share with my daughter and my sons before their wedding night. Number one, sex isn't always fun. I wish someone had taught me that. Because I'll tell you what, after you have kids, anatomy changes a lot. And I really wish that someone had told me, like, it's not always going to be a great time. And honestly, sometimes you just suck it up and you grin and bear it and you just do the thing because you're married and you do, and there are other benefits to having sex. Okay. But it's not always a great time. And that's okay. Because sex is beautiful, but it's not perfect because you're imperfect. And it's okay. My kids are beating on each other in the back. They're fine, I promise. So that's the first thing. Sex is not perfect, but it is beautiful. Okay. And that's just because you're taking two imperfect people. That's all that it is. It's not sin. It's not gross. You don't need to feel dirty. It's just not always perfect. And that is okay. That is A-okay. Number two. It is okay to say no. I was introduced to a portion of conservative Christianity where I was taught in Bible college that a woman saying no to her husband was not submitting to her husband. I'm sorry. Excuse me? No. That's called having boundaries. This is my body, and I'm going to respect myself sometimes. Have I told my husband no? Be very candid. Yes, I have. Why? Because I was tired. Because I had to be up early the next morning. Like, let's use our brains here, folks. Okay? We're human. We're not invincible. Sex doesn't make us invincible. Okay? Number three, attraction to people of the opposite sex is healthy. It's normal. I am not going to look at my 14-year-old and say, you really shouldn't have a crush on that boy. Boys are yucky. No, they're not. Okay, you know what? 14-year-old boys are yucky. Yes, they are. 14-year-old boys are gross. Okay? They smell like dirty gym socks and they're gross. Okay? But I'm not going to teach my daughter that boys are nasty and grimy and you shouldn't like a boy because you. No, it's a natural attraction. And then we sit back and we want to know why, attraction to the same gender is becoming so prevalent because people were taught that boys have cooties. That's why, folks. It's a big reason why. Because having an attraction to people of the opposite gender was not presented in a positive light during our childhood. It was presented as, ew, boys have cooties. Don't touch them. Nah. Stop it. Stop it. Now, here's what I would say. I do not have a problem with my 14, 15, 16-year-old going on a date in an appropriate context. Now, at 14, 15, 16, I'm probably going to tell them, hey, you want to take Susie Jane out for dinner because you think she's cute. She's a nice girl. I would love to encourage you to take her out for dinner. You know why? Because if it's one of my boys, I want to teach them how to hold a door open for a lady. I want to teach them proper manners at the dinner table, and I want to let them practice that. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to call Susie Jane's mom, and I'm going to say, hey, Easton would like to ask Susie Jane out for dinner. My husband and I would love to do that with them. So here's what we'd like to propose. My husband and I would love to get to know you and your husband better. Let's go out for dinner, and the kids can sit at the table near us where we can see them, and they can sit and have their conversation, and us adults can sit and get to know each other, but still be in the same presence of our children, still guarding them, keeping them safe. I'm not going to let my 16-year-old out on the town by himself, okay? Because I want to present things in a positive light to my children. I want to teach them this is normal and this is healthy. And then we would start a conversation about, you went on a date, you are not dating. If you want to take it to the next step, then we need to have a more serious conversation about what that means. Because when you commit to dating somebody, that's a big commitment. And I want you to know what that commitment should mean to you. That commitment should mean, I'm looking for the person who I'm going to marry. Are you really ready to get married at 16? I don't think so. Okay. And if they really told me like, but I really think this is the one. Okay. Then let's have a really in-depth conversation about that. And let's create some healthy boundaries that will protect everybody. Okay. And that will include your parents because you're still living in your parents' homes. Okay. Is that the second thing? I think that was the second thing. I'm so sorry if I give an extra one. Third thing I want to teach my kids. Sex is not a secret. Okay? Because sex was so taboo and so very hush-hush growing up, it felt like this dirty little secret. Okay? It's not dirty. First of all, let's establish that. Sex is not dirty. Okay? Now, I know, and you know. Okay, good. Glad we covered that. Sex is not dirty, okay? And I don't want to present it to my children in a dirty light. You know why? Because when my daughter gets married, I don't want her to feel like a whore on her wedding night. That's why. I don't want my daughter to feel like a whore on her wedding night. So I'm not going to present it as a dirty thing. And you shouldn't either. When we present sex in the correct context to our children and talk about it in a positive way, it will be presented positively to our children and it will reinforce those positive things for them. Okay, fourth thing, and I'm sorry if I give an extra one. The fourth thing is I want to be honest with my daughter about the nitty-gritty of sex. And I'll let my husband do this with my husband too. It's not always great, and you need to have a conversation with your kids about anatomically what happens. Okay, I'm gonna get a little down to earth here on this one. The day that I got married, I did not know that the first time that you have sex, you can bleed. Among other things that happen when you have sex. Okay, and I think we're all adults here. I think we all know what I'm talking about. If you're not married, it's okay. You will understand someday. It is okay. And sometimes the first time doesn't always go as anticipated, okay? And that's okay. Sometimes it's a little bit of a learning curve. But let me tell you, that can be prevented if you're presenting sex in the correct light to your children and you're teaching things and you're correctly preparing your children. Please don't shove a book in their face. Please sit down and have a real conversation and don't make it awkward, okay? I'm talking, sit your kids down one night, you know, individually, one-on-one, however you think would work best for them. And just start asking them questions. Here's a great way to start this conversation with your teenager. You know, you're at an age where I think there's more that we can let you in on. And there is a lot of joy in the relationship that your father and I have, or we as parents have. Things that we want to share with you so that when you grow up and you get married, you can be prepared too. And so we want you to know that you can come to us anytime with any questions you have, and you have a safe zone. You can ask us anything. Now, there may be some questions we don't feel that you're quite prepared for us to answer yet. And so we'll just tell you, like, we're going to talk about that another time, but I'm not going to forget your question. And there may be questions that you feel comfortable answering. But when you create an open dialogue and an open space for your children to be able to have that conversation with you, you create an environment where your children are now coming to you to ask questions instead of going to their friends. So those are my four recommendations. Now, I have rambled on for 30 minutes. This is the longest podcast I've made in quite a while. But this has been a hot topic of conversation lately. And I think it's very interesting to see that people my age and from my generation are finally opening up their eyes and saying, our parents didn't do us a disservice, but they probably didn't do this the right way. And we want to do it the right way. We want to teach our kids differently so that they can have a different experience than we do. And that's okay. That's what I want to do here. And I want to encourage you to do that too. And it's intimidating. Okay. It's a little weird. It's intimidating. That's okay. It is okay. So I'm going to end there mostly because I have to take my kid to school. And I've rambled on long enough about this. Maybe I'll do a part two at some point. We'll see. But that's what I'm gonna leave you with for now. I hope you guys have a great rest of your Wednesday, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.